Good morning. Welcome. If you're with us for the first time, and we're thankful that you've decided to join us today. This morning, I want to start off by asking a question, and that is, what is your pattern of living? That may be kind of a weird way to ask, what is your routine? What gives structure to your week and to your days? Do you have a schedule that you follow every week? Do you have patterns of places you go, people you see, when you leave and arrive for work? What's your pattern for living? I've had a few different patterns, and those patterns change over time as you grow and as you go through different stages of life. Some of my more embarrassing patterns, as I think about my pattern of food. And when I was in college, a friend of mine, he would drive to church with me where I was a youth minister in West Tennessee. And this church was a few miles away from another little town called Saltillo, Tennessee. And it was right on the Tennessee River. And there was, in this town, there weren't many restaurants. And so the only place to eat around the church was just this little Mexican restaurant that was just down the street from the river in their little downtown area. And so our pattern was, every service, whether if we didn't have any plans after service, if it was Sunday night, Sunday morning, or Wednesday, we would stop into this restaurant, this Mexican restaurant there in Saltillo, Tennessee. And we would order the same food every time. We found this dish we just loved. We'd eat it every time. It was sort of like this Mexican sausage with cheese and rice and chicken filet, or chicken, cut up chicken. Super good. We loved it. We could not get enough of it. And it got to the point that we would go there so often, they would see me and my friend walk in the door, and they would greet us with our plate of food ready to go. Like, that's how often we were eating at this place. And if you wanted to order something different that day, as soon as you walked in, you needed to be sure to tell them, hey, I want to try something different, or else that plate would be coming out, because that was our pattern. That was our routine. A little bit more embarrassing than that, one routine I got into through the year, I was trying to think of something on my way to the church and office, some way to grab a quick breakfast and for it to keep cheap. And so I found out Taco Bell had these really cheap breakfast burritos for like $1.50. And it would keep me full. It was generally healthy. I know it's Taco Bell, but it was just potatoes, eggs, cheese, and a tortilla with some tomato. Like, how bad could that be for you? I don't know. I guess I'll find out in 20 years when get yeah. So I had this habit, and I would just drive by, and it got so bad, and this is what I'm embarrassed by. Even the workers at Taco Bell could identify my car and the voice as I would put the order in. And they're like, oh, I know what you want, and I'd go through and get my little dollar breakfast burrito. I've broken that habit since. But what are your habits? What are your habits? What are your patterns of living? And what does that look like? We all have them. We have patterns and schedules and routines. And we kind of have a love-hate relationship with routines, don't we? You know, when we're kind of going through a routine, going through a year, we get tired, we get worn down, and we'll complain, and we'll say the routine is mundane. We need to change it up, spice things up, do something different. However, at the same time, I know many of us have been in chaotic seasons of life where everything seems so crazy, everything's just out of hand, the schedule's so busy that we're totally out of our schedule, we're out of a routine, and it's during those moments we want a routine. We can't wait to get back into a routine and a schedule when we're in those seasons of sort of chaos. So we've got this love-hate relationship with pattern, with routine, with schedule. But what about your relationship with God? Is there a pattern? Is there a routine? Is there a sort of a plan you have to make sure that you're investing and spending time in relationship with Him? Another way of asking this, and this might sound a little weird, but another way of asking that is, like, what is your rule of life? And historically, what that has meant, as we're going to talk about today, is sort of what are the patterns or routines you have for giving your life over to God? And we may have all sorts of routines. Maybe for you, it's a daily Bible reading plan as part of your rule of life, part of your routine or schedule for coming and meeting God in a time of relationship, in a time of rest, in a time of fellowship. Maybe it's a pattern of prayer that you've committed yourself to, or it's just sort of happened and you keep this pattern of prayer for when you take time to pray. Or maybe you don't have any patterns or routines at all, and you're just kind of spontaneous with your relationship with God. But I would argue that in and of itself is a pattern It's a routine, even if it's spontaneous. Your rule is that it's spontaneous, and you just pray whenever you feel the need, or you pray whenever you remember to. But I want to talk this morning, especially as we'll talk about the end, we're getting into a new series on prayer. I want to talk about this morning about this idea of a rule of life. And if that idea is totally foreign to you, it's sort of foreign to me too. It's been something new that I've been looking into as well. But I want to define it because it's pretty simple. It's just simply the pattern or routines we have in our life and when we intentionally spend time with God. And so as we get into this subject this morning, I want to just do this maybe a little differently than I normally structure a lesson. I just want to go through and answer questions about a rule of life and what it means to follow a rule of life. First of all, I want to ask the question, where does a rule of life come from? The word rule. We said we had a love-hate relationship with the word routine. I think we have a love-hate relationship with the word rule as well. Because when we hear rule of life, we're kind of thinking of rules of life. Like, what are the rules for life? And some of us, we were brought up in a tradition where everything about church, everything about following Jesus was just about a bunch of rules. And so maybe we sort of have this sort of resistance against this idea of rule or rules. But as we know, we don't live under a system of rules. We follow a person, and we try to be like that person who is Jesus. But as you look at this word rule, it comes from the Latin word regula, which simply means a standard of measurement, or at the most basic level, it meant just a straight piece of wood. And so that would be used for all kinds of different purposes, to measure or to make something level or whatever. It was so you had a standard of something that was straight so you can measure other things. Another way that a regula was used, might be used for plants, specifically vine-type plants that need a structure in order to grasp onto as it grows. I'm thinking maybe a tomato vine or a grapevine, right? Those type of plants that need a structure or a trellis, we might call it, that piece of wood or that structure. Now you can get like a metal one or whatever it is, a structure for that plant to grow on and to build itself upon. And that's in order for it to prevent disease from the plant or for it not to be on the ground, separated from predators or for the plant to get stepped on. It's to protect it. But that's the word regula, or where we get the word rule, and obviously how we get the word ruler, which we use to measure things. But this word even comes from a word that might be unfamiliar or might be familiar to you, depending on your background. But if you've been around church a lot, maybe you've heard the word Canaan or canon. And that's the same word, the word that this word rule is translated from. And I want to look at this word in Scripture in just a moment. But I want to look how this word was also used in Christian history for some time. In the early church, going on to the second century, there came to be about what they called this rule of faith. And what this rule of faith was is that, again, that word canon, and so it was this canon of faith. And it came to be this standard by which all beliefs and all understandings about God could be measured, because it was a standard. It was this rule of faith, something that could be measured upon, or this canon of faith. And as time developed, in 3rd century onward, as they began to recognize which writings of Paul or which Gospels were to be understood as inspired and from God, right, that developed into the canon of Scripture. And that's how we probably use it more than anything, is to talk about which books are inspired by God. And that's the canon. That's the standard of Scripture. But it was originally used, called the rule of faith, and it talked about which of those teachings are most core and most important to the Christian faith, and it developed into the canon of Scripture. And at various times, people have said Scripture itself is our rule of faith. But originally, this phrase, this word, this rule of faith was used to talk about sort of what do we believe. And by the way, we use this today. Most churches have a rule of faith. They may not call it a rule of faith, but we might call it our statement of faith. In other words, on most church websites, you can go and click on the button that says beliefs, and you'll find a rule of faith or a statement of beliefs, a statement of faith in which it'll start, we believe that, and typically it'll go down. And what you'll find on those lists is that most of the time, you don't have everything that church will teach or believe, but you have the things that that church believes are most core and what's most valuable to the life of a disciple of Jesus. Like, what are the essentials? Typically will be found in a rule of faith. Again, it's the canon of belief, the standard of belief. But also in church history, there developed this idea, you had the rule of faith, is what do we believe? But there developed this idea of a rule of life. Like, what do we practice? What practices do we have in our life to help us along in our relationship with Jesus? Now, when you look at the Old Testament, what was the rule of faith? The rule of faith was the Torah, was the rules and the regulations, the principles found in the Old Testament. Those were meant to be sort of a rule of faith, these rules that guided the lives of the Israelites, that brought them into communion with God. Now, obviously, in the New Testament, we don't have all those rules and regulations that we have in the Old Testament. But that doesn't mean that there's not a rule of life. As we look at the New Testament, actually the only time, well, there's about two or three times the word is used, canon or kanon, is used in the New Testament. But one of the main time, and one time it's kind of used in a sort of a descriptive way, talking about a standard of a map or a schedule of a map. Paul talks about his canon as he's talking about traveling to different churches. But in the other use, in the use that's more in line with how we're talking about today, is found in Galatians chapter 6. And in that passage, the church in Galatia was going through some troubles as there were those Jews who were part of the church who were trying to make the Gentiles follow their Jewish rule of faith or Jewish rule of life, is that you need to commit to circumcision, you need to commit to these Jewish diets and these practices. And Paul says, no, no. And he says in verse 14, he says, may I never boast in any of these practices in the context of the passage. May I never boast in all of these rules, but may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And then verse 15, he says, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything, but what counts is the new creation. That is the new life we experience because the cross and the empty tomb of Christ. He says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, this canon, he says, to the Israel of God. So peace and mercy to all of Israel of God, talking about all those who are included in the household of faith because they live by this rule. Well, what rule? And that rule was through the cross of Christ, a commitment to live in the way of Jesus. And so the rule of life, if you will, for the Christian is the way of Jesus. It's following Jesus, right? Jesus says, follow me. And what he means by that is not just, you know, now you have a new description to put on your voter ballot to say how you identify religiously. Now you can say, I'm a follower of Jesus or whatever. It's bigger than that. It's how we actually live our life. It's how we actually daily have patterns of following Jesus. And so this idea of rule of life, it developed later in church history into like the monastic rule of monasteries and how monks live their life. But before that, it's just simply, how do you live your life? How do you, as a daily follower of Jesus, what does it look like to do that on a daily basis, to follow Jesus? And kind of how it's talked about today in terms of what it means to follow Jesus and spiritual disciplines and practices is, it's, of course, our rule of life is to follow Jesus, but it's talked about more in the sense of a schedule or a routine that you have in coming in prayer in the spiritual disciplines before God. And so I want to define it now. That's sort of the history of the phrase rule of life, but I want to define it for a moment and just say, what is it? Because at a zoom out sort of version, at 50,000 feet, we might look at it and say, our rule of life is Jesus Christ, is to become like Jesus, to be with Jesus, and to do as Jesus did, is we want to become like Jesus. That's our rule of life. Like, that's the goal of our life, is to become more like him. But how do we do that? And so there's this practice, there's this plan that many Christians follow, called rule of life. And it's basically just a program for spiritual growth, your own personal program for spiritual growth. It's, as I've sort of defined it here, is that a rule of life is an intentional routine to spending time with God. Again, nothing crazy here, nothing big, nothing probably different, all that much more than talking about what's your routine of prayer, what's your routine for sitting down and taking in Scripture, consuming Scripture, sitting with God as you look throughout the Word of God, having time of prayer, having time of fasting, having time of community, right? Part of your rule of life, if you're here on a Sunday morning, is to gather with the church. Like, that's part of your rule of life, your routine of regularly gathering with the church. You've prioritized that if you're here this morning, and that's part of your rule of life. A rule of life is an intentional plan for practicing spiritual disciplines that lead to growth. So if the goal of a rule of life is to become like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to act like Jesus, then sort of the plan for a rule of life is to actually determine what are the spiritual disciplines we find in Scripture that are going to help me get there, and how can I be intentional about practicing those spiritual disciplines. And a spiritual disciplines, one writer, Don Whitney, says this, just to define it for all of us in the room, it says, a spiritual discipline are those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's those practices like prayer, reading Scripture, meditation, taking times of rest, gathering together with the assembly, the gathering of Jesus' followers, and others, fasting, and others that prepare us and help us grow as we come and encounter God through these, you know, biblical practices. And the purpose is for us to grow. Now, the practical side of it, you know, because again, you can be unintentional about this. You can just say, well, I do those things whenever I do them, whenever it comes up. You know, I pray when I have a need. I pray when I think about it. I read Scripture when I have time. And that's fine. And it's not bad to be a bit more spontaneous about it. And we always need to be open to spontaneously talking with God and spontaneously spending time in Scripture. But what I'm advocating for this morning is for you to take an intentional look at your rule of life, as your pattern of living, and say, am I setting aside intentional time with the Lord? And so a rule of life, then, is a schedule or set of practices that help us create space in our busy world to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so a rule of life then is simply a spiritual plan for how to encounter God and how to spend time with God and to be intentional about it. And so a simple rule of life might simply say, okay, I'm going to take these five big areas of my life and I'm going to commit myself to certain practices in each one of these areas to look at life and to look at spiritual growth in a very intentional and in a very sort of holistic way. And to look at, okay, my relationship with God, how, what are the times I actually sit down to do these things, or what are the times that I actually set apart to go and go off into the woods and to pray? Like, what are my moments? Where are my spaces? How am I going to be intentional about that? This goes to personal life and to health. How am I taking care of the temple God has given me? Am I giving myself the rest I need in order to be spiritually engaged as well? It's being intentional about our relationships in and outside the church. Am I invested in real relationships that challenge me and help me grow? Am I invested in relationships with those who are outside of the church, where I'm able to, as we saw in our series last week, as we wrapped up our series on Lost on Luke 15, am I setting myself up to have relationships with those who are far from God, who I can embrace in the name of Jesus? Do I even have people in my life, right? It's talking about setting priorities in terms of relationships. And then, of course, being plugged into a faith community. And then thinking about, you know, the ways in which you have a healthy balance of your work or your vocation, so that you also have time to do well in the areas you want to succeed in your vocation, but also time for family, time for faith. Is there balance there? And again, you can do all of this in other ways and not have this sort of rule of life thing. But the question is, are you doing it intentionally? And that takes me to this next question is, why do I need this? Why can't I just go about life? And you can. But here's why I think it's important. Because as we see in John 15, and this was a passage we looked at this summer, but I want to come back to as we think of this idea of having a spiritual plan, a spiritual intentional schedule, as we think about following Jesus, is Jesus says this. He says, I am the true vine and the Father is the gardener. And so again, what's our rule of life? Our rule of life is to follow Jesus, is the way of Jesus. Excuse me. Our rule of life is learning to become more like Jesus, spending time with Jesus, and to act like Jesus. And Jesus defines this as sort of the rule of life. Like, this is your source of life, that you are plugged into him. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, and while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, and that it will be even more fruitful. And that's done through the life of discipleship. And maybe that's a better way to talk about the rule of life. It's your discipleship. It's your plan for discipleship and growth in your life. And that's where we're pruned and we become more fruitful. We become more productive for the Lord. We become more people of more kindness and love and self-control and gentleness, right? All the qualities we see in Jesus, more patient people. It's through this process of discipleship and being pruned so we might grow. And Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain or abide, some translations will say, in me and I and you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you will do nothing. And so all the rule of life is, all of this sort of spiritual schedule is, or a spiritual plan of intentionality, it's just we want to remain in Jesus. We want to abide in Jesus. But are we intentional about it? Have we set the time? Just like we set our goals for work, or just like we set our goals for fitness and we commit ourselves to fitness plans, have we thought about it intentionally enough to say, here's my plan for how I'm going to make sure I'm investing in my relationship with God, that I'm setting time and space for me to be developed into the person that God wants me to do? Because many of us, what we'll sort of lean on is we'll say, One day, you know, I want to abide in Jesus. I want to remain. I want to grow into the person he wants me to. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to do like Jesus did. But I'll do that one day. Right now is a bit too busy. Because one day always loses to the priority of today, at least in most cases. We might have the best intentions of wanting to become like Jesus, of truly, you know, for maybe for you, this whole church thing isn't just a social club. It's not just a thing that you do because you're in a cultural setting where it's popular. But it's real. It's more. And you might have the best intentions to try to grow and develop into the disciple Jesus is calling to you, but the problem is we're not intentional. And we think it'll get done, but we're not intentional. We don't set aside the time and the space in our schedules and in our week. And if you're like me, and in the words of one writer, you find yourself scattered. And by scattered, I mean, right, our schedule is full, we're doing good things, but our schedule doesn't actually reflect our purpose as disciples of Jesus. Or we find ourselves to be hurried, right? We're busier than we want to be, but we don't know how to change. We're constantly on cruise control at 90 miles an hour, and we can't figure out how to slow down. Or we find ourselves reactive, where things are just happening in life. We have a plan, we have a sort of goal that we want to become more like Jesus, but we've not made a plan. And so we just become reactive to all the things that are happening around us in life. As life never slows down, it constantly picks up the pace, and it seems like we're never in charge, and we're always responding to the demands right in front of us. And this ultimately leaves us exhausted, where we end each day weary and discouraged, unsure if we've really spent the day well. We've taken advantage of the time in order to grow, to be more like Jesus. And so we think about our goal to become more like Jesus, and we think, I'll get there one day. One day I'm going to be where I want to be. One day I'm going to be kinder. One day I'm going to be more self-controlled. One day when everything is cleared out, my schedule's more free, I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be more intentional. But the problem is, as we said, one day almost always loses to the hurry of today. And ultimately, as Jeremy Lindemann, a Midwestern minister, said, we often fail to grow spiritually more like Jesus because we haven't planned and we haven't made space for deep, abiding fellowship with God. And so what a rule of life is then, it's a trellis, right? It's a spiritual plan, no matter how big, small, detailed, undetailed, maybe if it's even just a sketched out in your mind. But what a rule of life is, it's a commitment to the spiritual disciplines. It's a commitment to prayer. It's a commitment to Scripture. And it serves as a trellis where, yes, we're abiding in Jesus, but we sort of have this plan, this personal program of spiritual growth where it's able to support us, to give us support as we grow in Christ. And so we ask then, so that's why we might need it, but how do we develop it? And in order to develop it, we want to ask a few questions, and this is all practically speaking. I'm not speaking out of a plan or initiative out of Scripture at this point, but practically speaking, how do we be more intentional about the spiritual disciplines? How do we be more intentional? And the first thing is you need to plan ahead. Get away. Take a moment or a few hours on a Saturday and sit down with some of these categories we've talked about and say, how am I going to be more intentional in these areas to have this holistic relationship with God? Spend time in prayer about it. Ask God to work in you as you think more intentionally about your time with Him. And then to determine the sections of your plan, like what are the areas I'm going to define? I'll throw that up there one more time, what a simple rule of life might look like, the categories where you might define some of your practices in. And then actually write out your commitments, or at least have it on your phone or some way to say, here's what I've committed to trying to do. And it's also something that goes by trial and error, right? Like the same practices don't work for everybody. Like for whatever reason, I'll confess this to you, the 365-day Bible plans where you have so many verses a day or so many chapters a day doesn't typically work well for me. I get like super stressed out once I miss like 3 days, and then you got to read it all at once, and then, you know, and then it ends up being longer than that, and it doesn't work for me. Like not everything's going to work for the same people. But the point is having those commitments, having that intentional thought of what I'm going to do and taking this time to set aside, writing down those commitments. Here's in the next year, here's what I want to do to become more like Jesus, and here's how I'm going to try to get there. And of course, God works in that. We don't grow to become like Jesus by any plan or by any one discipline, but it's through God working in our life. But the plan is simply to say, how am I going to set the time and space to actually do that? And again, here is one more time, what a simple rule of life might look like. And so this week, starting tomorrow morning, there'll be a link sent out in the Northeast News in our email that has a link to a guide. Something, if you're interested in this, it's a guide to help you establish your own rule of life. It's a packet about 10 pages, 12 pages that will walk you through some of these areas and their, you know, their areas might be a little bit different than what I've listed here, but it just breaks it down categorically for you to think about, how am I devoting this area of my life to the Lord? How am I making time and space with my personal life and health so that I can be the best I can be for my family and for the Lord and for the church? How am I investing in relationship? Like, it's just going to walk you through that. And that's something Cassidy and I walked through this weekend separately, as I was gone this weekend at a men's retreat, kind of walk through some of these areas, how we're going to devote ourselves in each one of these areas. And again, remember, as we think about what it means to grow, what it means to, what it takes to become like Jesus, and we think, I'll do that one day. And we realize that one day almost always loses to the hurry of today. And if you take nothing else from the lesson this morning, I know we may have been on the extremely practical side this morning and didn't get super deep in theology and all that, but that was the goal, is be practical about this. And if you take nothing else from this and you say, okay, you know, I'm not buying it, Noah, I'm not doing a rule of life, don't like it, here's the message of today. If you could take everything, that's the practicality of the day. The message for today is this, is just be intentional with your walk with Jesus. Be intentional. Whatever spiritual plan you follow, whatever thoughts you have for your own relationship with God, just be intentional. Allow room for God to work in spontaneous ways in your life, yes, but also be intentional about coming to the feet of Jesus on a regular basis, whatever that looks like for you. And we've got a great opportunity for us to grow in this way in the next fall season. As you receive that pamphlet that Grady was talking about in the mail, the flyer, it's advertising our next sermon series, Dear God, Exploring the Depths of Prayer, which is one of the spiritual disciplines in which we encounter God and we grow and He shapes and He forms us. And this is going to be brought together, partnered with our life group ministry. As I'm preaching through the series, Grady has developed a curriculum to go along with the series for us to follow in our life groups each week. And here's my challenge for you. say, maybe you're someone who you don't want to go through a whole plan and think about your life holistically as it relates to making space for your relationship with God, that just sounds like a lot right now, then just focus on prayer as one of your spiritual disciplines and say, what is my plan going to be to make time and space for prayer with God? And as you start your life groups this week and next week, maybe add that in there. Talk about that. Like, what's the plan? What's the thing you're going to add to your routine of prayer? And how are you going to do that? How are you going to be intentional about it? And talk about it. Discuss it. Use your group as also a sort of a trellis to lift you up, to pick you up, and to help you along your journey. And if you have a need, we can always respond. There's going to be an elder in our prayer room this morning. If you exit on this side of the auditorium, there'll be someone to guide you there. And if you have a need you want to bring to our shepherds this morning, you can. And before we end, let's just go ahead and we'll close with prayer as we think about our deep fellowship with Jesus and how to be more intentional about that. God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this routine we have of gathering, of being intentional of our time together on Sunday morning so that we can worship you, praise you, glorify your Son, glorify your Spirit, and that we can become the people that you've called us to live. Father, we want to abide in Jesus. We want to be with him. We want to become like him, and we want to do what he did and live like he did. And Father, we pray that you'll bless that desire in us and help us grow, help us develop, and help us be intentional about that and whatever that looks like for each one of us. And Father, I pray that you'll bless this next season of life groups as we get started today, and pray that you will shape and form our communication with you, our prayers to you, and help us dive deeper, get past the surface level areas of prayer, and be able to commune with you through this avenue that you've blessed us with. And Father, we pray that you'll be with each life group that meets today and this week, and pray that real community can happen there and that we can be blessed as we come together as this family that you've shaped and formed us into. And Father, we're thankful for your Son, his gift that he's given us of laying down his life for us, modeling to us a true life of sacrifice and love. And we pray that we can imitate him. And Father, we're thankful for your gift of the Spirit who shapes and forms us and gives and bears fruit in our lives and in our minds and in our actions. And pray that you'll be with us each step of the way as we go along this journey of following Jesus. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand.